puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time for our Sunday morning fix of Gordon Goldsborough and abandoned Manitoba. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia. I love that phrase, the fix.
Right? People need their shot of Gordon Goldsborough every Sunday.
What a disease.
Oh, no. What are we talking about this week?
There have been many changes in Manitoba's rural communities over the years, and I think one of the most impactful has been the decline in banking services. You know, branches of the chartered banks in towns all over the province have closed, and often it leaves those towns with no option for local financial services. So this week, we're looking at how one Manitoba community maintained its banking in a way that was believed to be the last of its kind in Canada. We're talking about the private bank of Henry Stevens.
So what is a private bank?
Well, today, the phrase private banking means, I think, at least a couple of things. In families like mine, the private, quote, bank of mom and dad supports the activities of our children. And parents out there, you know what I mean. At a corporate level, a private bank refers to the services of a major chartered bank that caters to wealthy people. But in the old days, a private bank meant a commercial entity that was not controlled by a corporate entity, not by shareholders owning shares in a company. It was controlled by a single person or maybe just a small group of partners. And these private banks offered many of the same services that the major banks still do today.
And when did the first private bank open in Manitoba?
Oh, it goes way back. You know, I think Manitoba's first, and I think arguably our most successful, private bank started in 1877 by a guy named William F. Alloway. Alloway had come here to Manitoba in 1870 as a member of the Wolseley Expedition, and he stayed behind and he got involved in all sorts of things, including private banking. Well, in fact, in 1879, he took on a partner, a fellow named Henry T. Champion, another member of the Wolseley Expedition, and together they formed Alloway and Champion, a company that did all sorts of financial transactions, so much so, in fact, that by the early 20th century, they were believed to be the largest private bank in Canada. Now, towards the end of his life, Alloway began putting his affairs in order. So in 1921, for example, he donated the initial endowment that led to the establishment of the Winnipeg Foundation, which today is one of the largest community foundations in all of North America. And in 1923, Alloway arranged for the assets of his bank, Alloway and Champion, to be taken over by the Canadian Bank of Commerce, which today operates as CIBC.
How many private banks were there in Manitoba?
Well, I don't know exactly. I searched local history books and I found mentions of private banks at 33 places around the province. I suspect there's more, but I don't know for sure. But all of those banks are gone today. But there are remnants of them. In one case, for example, in the village of Bradwardine, northwest of Brandon, there's the bank vault of a private bank that was built sometimes before 1904. We're not sure exactly when, but that bank vault is still there today because it was the remains. It was the concrete remains of that bank building. But what's interesting about that Bradwardine private bank is that it became later a branch of the Bank of Hamilton. In other words, that the private bank became a public bank. And indeed, many of the earliest private banks were purchased by chartered banks and continued in operation as bank branches. But that situation going from private to public was actually the reverse of what happened in the village of Bozeman.
Whereabouts is Bozeman?
Well, it's located in western Manitoba, north of Swan River. It's about 500 kilometers by road from Winnipeg here. The settlement originated around 1900, and by the late 1940s, when it was incorporated as a village, Bozeman had a population of over 500 people. It stayed around that size in the 500 range through the 50s and 60s, but unfortunately, it went through a fairly marked decline starting in the 1970s. And today, Bozeman has a population of just over 200 people. In fact, if you look at a chart of Bozeman's population over the last 60 years, it's a nearly perfect straight line downward. And if you extrapolate from that line, Bozeman will have zero population by 2060. It's a classic case of rural depopulation. And this, of course, is a situation not unlike a lot of other small towns around Manitoba.
So what was the story of the private bank at Bozeman?
Well, in late 1918, the Montreal-based Merchants Bank of Canada opened a branch at Bozeman, one of at least 40 branches that bank operated around the province. The bank built a two-story brick building at the corner of First Avenue and Second Street in Bozeman. And if it followed the usual pattern for such buildings, the main floor of the building hosted the banking functions, while the second floor was residential space for the branch manager. The building was identical in appearance, or the mirror image of, branches of the bank several other places. Well, I found, for example, there's an almost identical bank building in Minutonis, Oakville, and Austin. You know, I suspect there's other former Merchants Bank buildings around the same time that were built on the same blueprints. In 1922, the Merchants Bank merged with the Bank of Montreal, and all four of those branches that I just mentioned were rebranded as Bank of Montreal. Unfortunately, the Bozeman and Minutonis branches closed in the late part of the 30s, 1936 specifically.
And what happened to the clients of those two closed banks?
Well, as often seems to happen, the bank said, well, you can continue using our bank in Swan River. But, you know, this just wasn't an acceptable solution for many people. You know, for the folks in Bozeman, Swan River was 18 kilometers away. And, you know, today that doesn't seem like very much, but, you know, it might as well have been on the moon for some of the people who I wanted to bank. Because, well, for example, roads in the 1930s were primitive. And even if you had a good road, well, not a lot of people had cars. And so this was the Great Depression, after all. And so it really deprived people of banking services. The bank was doing then what many of the major banks continue to do today. They close branches and they disenfranchise scores of loyal customers. But all was not lost. Enter Henry Stevens.
Finally, I've been waiting for this part. So who was Henry Stevens?
Well, he had arrived in Bozeman in 1921. In fact, he was a teller for the Merchants Bank branch that was at Bozeman. And after 2 years with the bank, he went to work for a lumber company, and he was there for about a decade. And then in 1933, he left the lumber company and set up an insurance agency at Bozeman. So, 1933. 3 years go by and the bank closes. Well, what does he do? He steps in. The bank wants to sell their bank building and he lowballs them because he says, what are they going to do with the bank branch otherwise? So, and the bank caves and he ends up buying that former Merchants Bank, which is now a Bank of Montreal. He moved his insurance business into the building, and seeing the scarcity of local banking services, because now the Bank of Montreal was closed, he opened a private bank. And he basically operated a one-man bank continuously for the next 29 years. The town of Bozeman benefited from this private bank run by Henry Stevens until 1965. And at that time, it was believed to be the last privately owned bank in all of Canada. So, you know, pretty noteworthy. And when he closed, and I'm sure he was mindful of, you know, the fact that previously the bank had left everyone high and dry, he didn't want to do that to his customers, and so he arranged with the Toronto Dominion Bank at Swan River to provide part-time banking services out of his building 2 days a week. They'd come to town, they'd do banking services those 2 days, and so you'd have to wait till they came, but you hadn't lost it entirely. And that arrangement seems to have carried on for decades. Even after Henry Stevens had retired, had sold the business to his partner, and moved to British Columbia. You know, now I wasn't able to determine when the TD Bank discontinued its part-time service out of the Stevens building at Bozeman, but the insurance agency that had operated out of that building closed in 2001, and it actually moved to Swan River at that time.
So what's the status of the building in Bozeman?
Well, I suspect that former Merchants Bank building has been vacant since 2001, but I don't know for sure. So if a listener in the Swan River Valley can set me straight, please get in touch. What I do know, though, is that as of 2024, a year ago, the building's first floor doors and windows were all boarded up. So, you know, I'm pretty sure it's still vacant. But on its south and west exterior walls, you can still see bolts protruding out of the side where the signs for Stevens's private bank were fastened. You know, so there's still quite a reminder, you know, I think an interesting reminder of the early banking history of Manitoba when the chartered banks, you know, operated branches in towns all over the province. But it also illustrates what I think is a very innovative solution to the ongoing problem of rural bank closures.
And just on a final note, Gordon, what happened to all those former merchant bank buildings?
Well, they say there was at least three that I'm aware of, Minutonis, Oakville, and Austin. The branch at Oakville, well, it's been turned into a private residence. The one at Austin, unfortunately, it was demolished in 2023. The former branch at Minutonis has had what I think is the happiest fate of the lot. It's now the town's public library. And this simply proves that all it takes for old abandoned buildings to have a long life is a little creative thinking.
Good point. Thanks for this, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, several years ago, the Manitoba Historical Society participated in a project of the Manitoba Library Consortium to preserve and improve access to local history around the province. It was called the Manitobia Project, but it didn't reach its full potential. Next week, we're going to talk about that project, what it was all about, and I'm going to also mention an addition to local history that's occurring right now.
Thanks for this, Gordon. See you next week.
We'll talk then. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.